Praise the Lord. Maybe you want to say something, Christina? Why don't you come and say a short hello?
Again, after years, just to say hello, tell how much we love you. We are very blessed to be here. And there is just one scripture I wanted to read to you. It is in 2 Peter, first chapter. 2 Peter, first chapter. And the 19th verse. We also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well, that ye take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts. Amen.
Praise the Lord. You know, the scripture is rich enough. Sometimes we should share a scripture and sit down and meditate upon it. But maybe I'll add a bit to it. Father, I thank you very much for the opportunity that I can be standing here, alive, in your presence. And I pray, God, since I'm not supposed to be here, as you know, I pray that you would cover me and hide me in your presence, O God. Because we are certainly not interested in seeing and hearing people. I pray, God, that you would put me aside and speak yourself. I pray, Lord, that you would be walking in the midst of us, that you would be touching the hearts of people, that you would be delivering your people, O God, that you would be coming and speaking, not into our ears, not into our mind, not into our understanding and intellect, but you would speak to our hearts, that we would understand and something would be created tonight in our heart. My God, I pray for your word of creation because you have power. And I pray, my Lord, that you would help us not to resist you. That we would be able to receive the word and allow it. Allow it to do the job because it has been sent with a purpose. It has been sent to fulfill a goal. And I pray, Lord, we would work with you and not against you. We bless your name in the presence of yours. Amen. You know, brethren, it is a fearful thing, isn't it, to come in the presence of the Lord? It is a fearful thing. I mean, if you believe God, if you really believe God, because He is a God of power. You know, He is God who can create, who can build, who can destroy. So when we come into His presence, we should feel that there is a power there. And we should fear and tremble with a holy fear as well as joy of being in the presence of the Lord. I don't know if you can imagine the combination of having a fear of the Lord as well as joy of being in His presence. But sometimes when my children come, we have a little bit of it. You know, they are glad they are in my presence, and yet they are afraid. They are fearful because they know that daddy means business. But they know daddy loves them. And you know, this is a combination we should have. We should take heed to what the Lord is saying. Amen. I had few thoughts in my mind. Oh, thank you. I had few thoughts in my mind. But as I was told, I'm supposed to be standing here tonight. Something else came. So if you don't mind, I'd rather say what I believe God put on my heart for tonight. You know, there is a little problem we have. And the problem is we have good word. You know, over the last 10, 20, 30, 40, I don't know how many years, we have a good word, don't we? It's a good stuff. You know, I mean, it is something which is so precious. I don't know if we are really realizing the preciousness of the Word. If we are really realizing what God has done, how far He went. Not only God Himself, but all the ministry over the years, which were taking it, century by century, you know, and worked and laid down the lives till they brought the Word in such a quality to us. You know what I mean? I don't know if you're realizing it. You know, when I heard a word, I was sitting on the edge of my chair, and I listened to it, and I listened to it. I didn't understand it, really, you know. I mean, I'm sitting under this word for some time, and then somebody said there's no rapture, and I was surprised, maybe after a year or two, you know. So I was missing here and there, you know, things. But there was something in my heart which was after the word, you know. And because I was understanding and realizing that if I get hold of it, it has power to do something absolutely incredible in my life, and even more through my life to the world. And I do not know what you think about yourselves. I don't know if I'm lucky or not, but I do not think about myself much. And I have many reasons for it. Because I wasn't saved as a baby, or, you know, not growing up in a Christian family. And I was saved early enough not to cause too much trouble, alright? But God stopped me somewhere, and He saved me, but I had long enough life to realize that if I live it myself, that there is absolutely no use. You know what I mean? So, and I see my family, you know. I see my mother, I see my father's, and I see, you know, all the environment. And it's nothing to be desired. You know, so I really was surprised and shocked that God would come and deliver me a promise that not only He'll change me, but He wants me to strip off the old man and take upon me the new man, which is God Himself. Amen. I wouldn't dare to think I can become a good person. You know what I mean? And God took it so much further because He said, I do not want you to become a good person. I want you to become like Me.
Amen.
And, you know, it is something so beautiful, something so rich, something so powerful. But sometimes I have to admit my heart is grieved. The way we treat it. You know, because it is, I mean, there is such a value in the word God has delivered to us. There is such a potential, there is such a power. It is something which can change us. If we do something about it, if we allow it. You know, actually, there's almost nothing we need to do. Just to allow it. Just to allow the seed, allow the word to do the job in us and through us. And yet, something religious in us, something in us is taking it for granted. Something in us is treating it in every form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And not allowing the power of the word, which has been delivered to us, to do the job in our lives and in lives of our families, in lives of our church and in lives of our community and in the world. I don't know what you think, brethren. And I'm not, you know, picking on you, excluding myself. But having this word for these years, are we supposed to be somewhere else? And again, I do not know what your ambition is. Maybe I'm too ambitious. Maybe I heard a word, and maybe I took it too literally. Maybe I believe it too much. You know, but I just cannot. You know, I have a problem. I have been spoiled. You know what I mean? Seriously. I mean, I come from Africa, and they offer me a pineapple in Czech. I'm not eating it. I'm not eating pineapples in Czech. Because I have tasted the African ones. You know? Yeah, it is, isn't it? What about mango in Philippines? You know? You eat the real stuff. What about steak at Peter Schneider. When you taste the real thing, you know, you've got a trouble to get satisfied with a counterfeit. I mean, it looks about the same. You know, the mango, for example, if you take it, it looks about the same, you know, but they just take it prematurely. They pick it green. And the same with bananas and things, they pick it green, and then they throw it on a boat or something, they carry it, and then they put it into some hangar and under some gas or something, you know, they make it, and now they have rules, it has to be yellow, certainly yellow, you know, because the European Union decided, so they put a color on it, so it would be good yellow. You know what I mean? But with all respect, I want the real stuff. You know what I mean? I mean, here and there I have occasion to appear in the church somewhere, you know, somehow. Or you see something somewhere. And you look at it and say, with all respect. And, you know, sometimes, I mean, you can have a Baptist deliver, some portion of a scripture or message, or, you know, somebody sends me something, and I say, well, that's blessing, it blessed me, you know. You know, some homeschooling message here and there, and, you know, then he realizes it's Baptist, and says, oh, yeah, okay, why not? You know, but, you know, it is not something where my heart is after, what my heart is after. You know what I mean? I mean, we are proclaiming and declaring, if I'm wrong, tell me, but we do not want church, do we? You know, not because we shouldn't, not because Brother Dusil said we shouldn't, but I hope it's because our heart is aiming higher, is desiring more than this. But you know, our heart is deceiving us. Our heart is deceiving us. You know that? Because we say we don't, but we do. Somewhere in us, we would be so happy and pleased if this place is full. You know, the praises are smooth. Somebody comes and say prophecy. You know, when the things run. And I have to say, sometimes I catch myself thinking this way. You know, sometimes the frustration from things not happening as I would like them to happening. Don't you have the same feeling sometimes? I mean, over years, the frustration of things not being where they are. I mean, we are preaching so high and walking so low. Or am I the only one? You know, and we have an option. We can start preaching low. No, don't be laughing. Because it is a pill to avoid the pain. It is painful. It is painful. And you walk the word longer than me. All right? But sometimes it is painful, isn't it? To see where I'm supposed to be and then see where I am. And, you know, one has a tendency to alleviate the pain. You know, say, God, I mean, you know, come on. And especially these years, I mean, the last months and years, when you hear the new doctrines coming, you know what I mean. I mean, you have this, what is his name, Joel Osteen, and you have this, what's the lady's name, Myers? Joyce Myers, you know, and these people where they try to give you the pill to alleviate it and say, don't feel frustrated, don't go to church and feel bad. You need to feel good. Do I? I don't know. I think I would rather you know, obtain. I want to forgive me, but I still believe it. You know, I still believe it. Call me naive, call me fanatic, but I still believe we can walk like God. I still believe He can change me to the uttermost. He can get rid of Martin Klussen fully, 100%, and I can be like God. And if you think I'm proud, that's totally misunderstanding. It's not, I'm not proud because I think I can achieve it, but I know He can. He promised me, and I'm reading the Bible and it's still there. It hasn't disappeared. No, I haven't achieved it. To my shame, I think. Because He's ready. But I'm still believing it. And yes, we are closer today than we were yesterday. But I do not want to start preaching lower just because of the frustration of not being there. I think the frustration is part of the process. Isn't it? Aren't you frustrated? Aren't you sometimes frustrated? Am I saying sometimes? Maybe lots of time. Maybe you placed before God, laying on your face and saying, God, forgive me, not again. Amen? And yet, if you have the experience in the presence of God, you know, there is no condemnation. Yes, there is conviction. But there is no condemnation. But there is something which is working on you and working on you and working on you. And I still desire, I still believe it. I still believe that as we walk, the oil is dropping. And you know, God is giving us little glimpses here and there. You know, we say word and it's prophetic. You know, we speak to a person because we have prayed. You know, we pick up a phone and I call a person and say, you know, I do believe God wants me to call you and say this. Oh, praise God. You know, I was on the verge and, you know, I was just praying and asking and you are delivering me the very scripture. You know what I mean? Because how did I do it, by the way? I don't know. There's nothing to do with me. You know what I mean? And that's the beauty of it. And you know what? That's the thing that cannot be faked. Our problem is that it is so high that we would like to have something which is almost like this, but is here. It means I can do it. Give me a list. Give me a checklist. And by the way, I'm a checklist man. I'm a spreadsheet man. Those of you who know me can agree to it, you know. So I like checklists, I like spreadsheets, I like numbers, you know. I like structure, I like to analyze it, you know. I like to get hold of it. So give me a list of things I need to fulfill to enter into the kingdom of God. And yet, it doesn't exist. And it frustrates me again. Because I would like to do things. How much do I pay? You know, how many trips do I have to travel? How many times do I have to preach? Or how many camps do I have to lead? Or what is the thing? And God is putting it all aside and say, walk with me. And I learn something. And I say, I figured it out. And then God moves. I say, God, I mean, it worked yesterday. Says, I don't want you to figure me out. I want you to learn my heart. I want you to listen to me. I want you to be always paying attention. I want your ears to be used to hearing me. And you know, I still believe it. I still believe I should wake up and I can wake up in the morning. And as I get out of my bed, I always say, 4 feet get down. You know what I mean? I don't want to walk alone. My wife knows me very well. You know, I just hate to be alone. I just do. You know, and sometimes it's funny. You can be laughing if you want. You know, but I just want to talk to my wife. And she's busy, you know. So she goes and puts it there, you know. And I go through the whole flat and the house, upstairs and downstairs. And I'm talking, and she's in the meantime, she cooks dinner, she takes care of garden, she does, you know, she washes the kid, and I'm still behind her, you know, just because I want to talk to her. I just hate to be alone. You know what I mean? So, in the same way, I just want to walk with the Lord. And I believe it's possible. I believe you can constantly be tuned. You can constantly be tuned and prophesy. Every single word you say can be prophetic. Based on what? Your achievement? Forget it. There's no way you can do it. Amen? But you know, I have been spoiled. I have been spoiled by what the Lord said. I do believe we should be judging the world. I do believe we should be bringing healing. Silver and gold do I have not, but what I have I'll give unto thee. I mean, is there abundance of it and I'm just not seeing it? Or are we missing out? And again, I mean, we can take a pill and bring some word that will alleviate the pain and the frustration. Or we can come to God and say, God, forgive me, but I still believe it. And I want it, because I read my Bible and it's still there. I listen to these messages and the same desire, the same fire is there. You know, sometimes I get hold of word, either in devotional or some book or something, and it's 10, 20, 30, 40 years back. You know, and you listen to it, and, you know, it stirs the desire in you. You know, it's like watching a commercial, and your mouth starts watering. You know, in the same way, I read, and it can be Brother Warnock, you know. You get hold of one of the books. My wife was, you know, we were sitting on a plane and she's, you know, reading me, you know, quoting from one of these books, you know. And you're listening to it. You say, amen. Yes, amen. Oh, yes. Yes, I want it. Yes, that's part of it. Amen, amen, amen. You know what I mean? But we've got a problem. Because regardless of us not wanting to become a church, not having a church, the church mentality is creeping into our midst. You know, and maybe it will be less pain if we don't admit it. Maybe, why don't we speak nice things? Yeah, it'll be more pleasant maybe, but forgive me. I don't feel that's what I need. And I don't feel that's what you need. We need to come back to the source. We need to come back to the Word and double check. What do you really want in your life? What is it? What is your ambition? What is your aspiration? Perhaps would be another good word. You know, I believe God spoke to me to show you and compare two approaches, if you want. Two approaches to Word which is delivered to us. Let us go to Eli. You know the story. I mean, you're Bible students, you know it very well, and I don't need to rehearse it yet. I will read some of it. You know, the situation is Eli, the prophet, and Samuel, the little boy. Amen. And what has happened to Eli, in the meantime, he grow fat. Maybe it's not politically correct word. I don't know which one is politically correct for fat. You know, these days you never know. But anyway, forgive me my political incorrectness here. But he did. And you know what? It's not speaking about his flesh as much, even though true. It's speaking about the mentality. You know what I mean? The mentality of being, and that's what the Bible says, all right? The mentality of being, how would you, slow to respond? You know what I mean? Not fighting. Not dealing with things, you know. And he just became old, heavy Eli, if you want. And there's this story, the famous story, you know, when Samuel is coming to Eli and saying, did you call me? He says, no, I didn't. And then, Samuel. Eli, did you call me? No, I didn't. Oh, that must be the Lord. So next time you hear this, just say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. I am in 1 Samuel 3, somewhere 9 and 10. So Samuel went and lay down in his place, number 10. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. Then Samuel answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. And the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel, at which both the ears of everyone that heareth, it shall tingle. You know, God is revealing here a judgment. He's revealing here a word. And you know, sometimes there is a word coming to us. There's a judgment. There is a word, and God is saying, I am not pleased. I am displeased. In that day, I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I begin, I will also make an end. I mean, it's a serious business. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth. And you know, brethren, this is our problem. Because we do know what we do wrong, don't we? We don't need to be told, do we? It is not secret. We would not be caught by surprise if a prophet comes and says, you know, that's your problem. Is it? That's interesting. It never came to my mind. It is not the case, is it? We know very well. We live it ourselves. We know our thoughts. We know what we do. We know what we don't do. We know how we treat our folks. We know how we treat God. We know what we do with our mind. So he says, the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and he restrained them not. In other words, he has done nothing about it. And you know, brethren, this is the church attitude. This is the church mentality. We grow complacent. You know, maybe it bothered us before. Maybe we used to say a word to our wife. You know, we used to say something in the beginning of the marriage. And we felt, oh, that wasn't nice. I'm not, you know, it's not something I'm supposed to say. You know what I mean? Maybe just the tone of the voice. And if you haven't dealt with it, when we said it a second and third and fourth and fifth time, it doesn't bother us no more. You know what I mean? It doesn't bother us anymore. I mean, you know, certain lifestyle gets on us and we are just who we are. Not holy, not too bad. You know what I mean? And we got used to who we are. And we got used to one another in our old natures. But you know what? That's church. That's church. If we don't keep changing, if we don't deal with these things, it's church. And you know, I'm scared. I have to say, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I'll stop changing. I'm afraid that I'll get used to myself. You know what I mean? I'm afraid that we will get used to our church. You know, we will have praises. We will have word. We will have something. Maybe, did it ever happen? They had praises, no anointing? You know, I mean, hypothetically, you know. So, when it happens, what do? If we get used to it and do nothing about it, if it doesn't bother us, we are church. Maybe I don't have the solution in this moment. Maybe I can't fix it. But I want to come home and say, God, I still believe it should be different. Maybe I don't know how to do it. Maybe I don't know how to achieve it. But God, I just want to tell you, I am not satisfied. Please don't get me wrong. Lord, I still want something better. I want the flow. I tasted part of it here, part of it there. And I was hoping and thinking, this is the constant thing we should have all the time. And I don't. But you know what? I still believe it. And sometimes I don't know how to achieve it. I don't know what to do. And I know I'm guilty. I know if I come to church and I'm not ready and I don't have the power and the anointing, you know what I mean? And then things go the way they go. You know I'm guilty. And I come home and say, Oh God. I'm not taking it upon myself as the whole thing. But I say, Lord, I've got a portion there. I should have walked better before I came to church. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm afraid. I'm afraid that we would not grow complacent. That we would not be satisfied. We wouldn't say, it's good enough. I mean, come on, look outside. How bad it's there? How bad it's over there? They don't have an anointing ever. We have it at least sometimes. No, I mean, it's a scary thought. But this is what is running through our minds. How do I know? Because, you know, I look around And sometimes things are not happening they should be, the way they should be. And it seems it doesn't bother us. You know what I mean? I mean, certain responsiveness of the church is missing. And sometimes good word comes, and it seems we are spoiled in the wrong way. A good word comes and say, yeah, praise the Lord, and, you know, let's move on. What's next? Oh, I need to pay the bill and do this. I mean, God was saying something, and He expects you to implement it into your life. I mean, it was personal. It is something He wants you to do something about it. There was a word, there was a power delivered to you, you know, and the power can heal you. The power can change you. So don't let it drop. Change it. You've got a problem, and there is a solution delivered to you. But you know, sometimes you're so used to it. I mean, there is a scary movie called Time Changer. Have you seen it? You haven't? You have, some of you? Yeah? Yes. And, you know, this is flashing through my mind very often. This one scene, you know, where he goes to this church and he delivers the message, you know, and he tells them, brethren, there's the situation. And he's trying to speak and deliver his soul as much as he can. You know what I mean? And you see the people there. It's scary because it's so true. You know, and the people there are saying and sitting, and one lady, I think she's taking care of her nails or something, is there, you know. And then at the end, he finishes, he sits down, and he would expect the people to come and repent. And the pastor of the church would stand up, you know, and says, okay, thank you very much for a good word, brother. And before we start voting, and, you know, we have elections to our, I don't know, what do they do? You know, why don't we sing a song? What do we have? Page number 55, Amazing Grace. You know what I mean? And I looked at it, and I rewind it, and I said, God, help me. God, help me that I would never end up with this mentality. And you know what? It doesn't matter how much I hate it, I still have to overcome it. It's still coming on me. You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes you're tired to fight. Sometimes you're tired to respond. Sometimes you're tired because we've done it over and over and over again. You know? And things are happening. And I mean, till we at least come home and say, God, forgive me. You know, we are still alive. There's still hope. You know what I mean? And if you think it's a life constant of frustration, no, actually it's not. Because God is doing things and you have the joy where you do well. And you do well again. And you do well. And you walk. And you hear. And it excites you because it works. It works. It works. So you get the excitement of it. Amen? But part of it is, until we reach the end, we will be dissatisfied. At least those who aim high. So, the situation here is, God is speaking to Samuel, and he says he restrained them not. He did nothing about the things, about his sons. But you know, sons are only representing the iniquity, you know, which was there. And he did nothing about it. He let it go. He didn't want to bother. He didn't want to care. You know, and sometimes you have the feeling, I mean, do I have to pick up myself again? You know, sometimes as parents, maybe we are the only ones, I don't know. I hope you don't mind telling us, you know. But sometimes, you know, you tell the children, you shouldn't do this. Please be quiet. And then the child does something. And you kind of would have a tendency to persuade yourself you haven't heard it. Because if you have heard it, you're supposed to pick up yourself again and do something about it. It would be much more convenient to just, you know, think, well, maybe it was not my child. I mean, I'm in my home and there are no other kids around, but maybe it was a neighbor's cat. You know what I mean? You have the feeling sometimes, not again, you know, not again. Let me ignore this one. But it's a message, isn't it? It's a complacent message. And you know what? The other thing is, if you love your kids enough, that you will pick up yourself again and again, then you realize one thing: it works. And then you start to see the fruit, and it gives you such a power. You know, I mean, with my first one, I was wondering, yes or no, should I, should not, isn't it too much, and here and there. With number four, and some of you, you know, you should be here instead of me. But, you know, with number four, I would say poor her on one hand, but blessed her on the other. I do not have a single question. There is not a single question mark in my mind. You know, and for her, life is black and white. Very simple and easy. And you know what? We enjoy it so much. You would see her, if you meet her, she's smiling all the time. You know, smiling, happy, sweetheart, obedient, almost all the time, you know. But it is, you see the fruit, and then you have the people and ask you questions. You know, we have people coming to our church these days. I mean, every single meeting we have visitors. And the visitors are saying, and they are saying two things. They sit under the word, and they marvel. And say, I was so much praying. I was dying. And I said, well, let me visit this church I heard about. You know, and I was coming scared and afraid. You know, what will I hear? Will it be that again? You know, and they say, finally, at last I have arrived. Doesn't it sound familiar? You know, and we had these people last Sunday and the Sunday before. You know, they sit under the word and they listen to it, they hear it, and they say, oh, there's life in it. Yeah, they speak the real thing. This is something which I desire. This is something which was in my heart. And I was doubting it exists. I didn't believe it could be true. And at last. And the second thing they say, you know, they look at the kids. They look at the kids and they observe them. You know, they observe them. And they say, how did you do this? You know what I mean? I mean, how did you do this? And, you know, they don't admire them being obedient. It's just part of it. But they admire them being so alive. Such a sweetheart. You have your own experience, don't you? You know what I mean? And it's a blessing. And it encourages you. So with the youngest, I'm not having a question. You know, because I said, I've seen the fruit. And I know it works. You know what I mean? So it becomes encouragement for you to continue in it and not question it. You know, am I not hurting the baby by asking her to sit? You know, can a baby being five be quiet? I wonder, you know. No, I don't anymore. So he restrained them not. And therefore I have sworn unto the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice, not offering forever. And Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. I would too. You know, I would too. We are cowards, aren't we? Sometimes we hear from the Lord and we try to kind of hide it into different words. You know, but this is what the word is saying. You know, this is what God was saying. Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here I am. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? Oh, no. I pray thee, hide it not from me. And now he starts threatening him. You know, God do so to thee and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. Now, who you fear more? Eli or God? You know, so Samuel went for God and said, I better tell him. And Samuel told him every whit and hid nothing from him. And you know, this is one of the saddest and scariest sentences in the Bible for me. Listen to this. Religiously, totally correct. And Eli said, it was Eli, is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. I've read the sentence over and over, and it scares me. I said, God, I never want to grow mentally dull. You know, I mean, such a response. I mean, there is a word delivered to you. You know what I mean? And he just says, okay, I mean, God is God. You know, absolutely zero ability to fight. Absolutely zero ability to do something about it. And you know what? We have the same illness. It's coming upon us. You know, it's like, forgive me, but it's like seeing the parents and deciding I'll never be like this. And then you start growing and you notice the habits and say, oh, that's the very thing I didn't want to do. Oh, I'm saying the same thing. No. Don't you know it? You know, and the best is if your partner, your wife or husband tells you, now you sound like your parents. Maybe they don't. Maybe you do. Maybe you don't. But it's a scary thing. And you know what? Not because you don't want to sound like your parents. And by the way, some of your kids have very good parents, so it could be a praise. But I mean the bad side of your parents. You know? And the problem is that when it happens, you know, you say, that's what I wanted to avoid. Isn't it true? And yet, it's coming, and you have to deal with it. In the beginning, we hoped, just by the decision, I don't want to be like my parents, that's it. I have decided I don't want to be like church, and it took care of it. It didn't. Because it's in us. You know, it's in us. And it's all over. And then you find out, you're sitting there, you know, and the fellowship goes reasonably smooth, and you feel satisfied. I go, oh no. Oh no. Oh, no, 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 God, no, 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 sorry, no, 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 back, rewind. You know what I mean? Because regardless of your desire not to become a church, you are constantly becoming church unless you fight back. Unless you fight it back. You know what I mean? It is with everything else. I mean, this is the devil's plan to make sure he will make denomination out of us. Do you believe it? Yeah. Do you believe it? He can give us the same mentality. Maybe we will not have one pastor, but five. Maybe we will not call them pastors, but we will call them elders. You know? Maybe we will not have a certain order and hierarchy, yet in our mind it will be the case. You know, we will come to church and we will perform and do the steps as we were told to do. And we will not even notice God is not in it. Because it feels the same, it looks the same. But you know, brethren, I have a problem. I have been spoiled. I'm not interested. You know, you chew it. What's up? It looks the same. It's about the same, you know, but there's something wrong with it. There's something wrong. I know, I remember the taste. You know, you spoil me, Brother Peter. You have a problem there, you know. And that's, you know, that's the thing. You know the taste, you know what I mean? And you kind of go and say, no, I mean, it looks the same, but it's not the same. I cannot be satisfied with praises. I cannot be satisfied with emotions. I cannot be satisfied with this because I want to feel and see the wind of it. The wind, you know what I mean? I want to see the healing in it. I want to see the deliverance. I want God to see how He is working on our hearts. How He's bringing repentance. How He's touching people and they go and apologize to one another. And they forgive one another. You know, if you have praises, and if you are able to sing, and it looks good, and we've got a problem in our midst, and it doesn't make us to do anything about it, it's not God. You know what I mean? And again, forgive me, but that's, for me, it's not good enough. I don't need praises. I don't need church. I don't need nice things. I mean, you go to these professionals. I mean, they have core and they have things. It all works perfectly. You know, 15 programs in a week. You know, they have a church golf course and stuff. You know, why are we trying to copy it? Why are we trying to, you know, to be like they are? Why don't we rather join? It would be much easier. It works. All the programs are in place, proven. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's funny. I mean, we can never achieve it. You know? So, why don't we, instead of copying the churches, why don't we rather try something else and come in a church and say, God, we don't know. Instead of trying to perform, you know what I mean? Why don't we start singing and realize in the middle of the song, oops, God, where are you? Drop it. Would it be against the protocol? If you drop it and say, God, we must be missing you. Is there a sin in our midst? Or shouldn't we repent? And then you feel, well, I better go to my wife. Honey, I shouldn't have said it. I'm sorry. You're right. You know what I mean? And then try again. You know what I mean? But we don't. And that's the problem. Because we are becoming church. We are not dealing with things in our heart and among ourselves, and we still perform the old things we used to do and they work. They don't. We don't know exactly what's wrong, but we are tired to deal with it, so we just dismiss it, and we feel, oh, well, it wasn't too bad. I mean, and the word, I mean, it was okay. We can preach well. Can't we? You know the scriptures. We are pretty good at it. I mean, you know, some of the stuff we say, I mean, it's great. You know, and what is our problem is, we can preach very good, even without anointing. You know, it would be nice if, when there is no anointing, and immediately we would know there's something wrong. But that's not the case. So sometimes we get satisfied with things which are good enough. You know what I mean? But I don't know about you guys, but I'm not satisfied. Amen. It's not why we have left churches. It's not why we have sacrificed. It's not why we have suffered all the years. You know, people laughing at us and mocking us, you know, just to become another church. You know, I mean, I should have stayed 20 years and maybe some of you 40 years, I don't know. You know, I should have stayed there instead of, you know, after 20 years, come back to the same place. You know, we need to come back to this mentality of, let's face it, let's be honest. I mean, when there is no anointing, drop it. Let's not be afraid of it. You know, go to church and say, brethren, there must be some problem. I mean, why don't we pray instead? We try to play, it doesn't work. You know, so drop it and go before God. You start preaching and speaking, and when there is no response, God, what's wrong? You know, but Eli had this terrible, terrible response. Well, I mean, God is God. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. That sounds perfectly correct, doesn't it? And it shows the future. And you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, if you think about it, this mentality of defeat, I would call it, and what's the other word? How do I say it in English? Apathy. And how is it if you are struggling and you just give up? Read. There's a
complacent.
Capitulate, maybe. Good one.
Surrender
would be another good one. Okay. I still believe there's one for with the R E re something, but it doesn't matter. Resign, maybe. Yeah. Anyway, you know, this mentality of I am not fighting. You know, and for me, that's a problem, because do you know what that means? That's death. When you stop fighting, it's death. If you still kick around, I have a hope. As a church, as people, you know, if you still kick around, yes, we still have problems. Maybe you don't hear, but we do back there, you know. But maybe we still sin. Maybe we, you know, I still, believe it or not, it happened to me again this year, you know. I said a word which was not nice to my wife, you know. And it happened, 2005 and then 1999, whatever, you know. So it keeps happening, you know. But if you say, yeah, come on, I mean, don't worry about it. I don't, you know, blow it out of proportion, you know. If you instead, you come and say, you know, honey, I want to tell you one thing. I still believe what I believed. You know, and the way I reply to you, it's not changing my belief. It's just pure sin. I'm sorry. Do you see the difference? Do you see the difference? And yes, you stumble again and stumble again and stumble again, but you still kind of stand up. And you know, the standing up makes you stronger. If you stop resisting, if you stop fighting, you're dead. And you know, this is something I'm afraid. I am. You know, there has been such investment, and I can sense the mentality of Eli. You know, and then, and Samuel grew, you know, it was taking days and weeks, and the Lord was with him. I mean, how was it for Eli to live this life? You know, the life of defeat. We were not called for life of defeat, were we?
No.
I mean, is that what we want to live? The feeling of we should have and could have, but we haven't? You know, maybe you can laugh, but I still believe we will. And we are. And I believe we will. You know, because the calling and election upon our lives, you know, is so high that I do not believe any hell can take it away from us. If we don't decide otherwise, there's nobody who can take it away from us. And shall we do mistakes? Oh yes, you bet. We'll be doing mistakes and we'll be clumsy because we are, you know. And we will be not doing things perfectly and we will mishear God, you know. But we will arrive. I believe it. You can laugh if you want, but I still believe it. You know, my wife had a dream some time ago, and in the dream she met somebody who was with us and is not anymore for some years. And they met, and a brother or sister, you know, met Christina in the dream, and she said, "Oh, how are you guys?" And my wife says, "You know, we are here and we were in this church." And this person was like shocked or surprised. I said, "You guys still believe this thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You still believe it?" I'm like, "Yeah, we still believe it." "Huh, that's interesting. I didn't thought you would still believe this, you know." "Yes, we still do, by the way. Hello. We still do." And all Israel from Dan unto even the... And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel from Dan even unto Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. You know, and days go by, and dear Eli did... What does he do?
Nothing.
You know, it's not what he thought. It's what he did. He did nothing about it. And that's a scary thing. He did nothing about it. He left it there. Let God be God. He left it there. He did nothing about it. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel, and so on. And, let me read it. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. You know, what a presumption. So presumptuous. I mean, we can go. It doesn't matter what shape we are in. We don't need to ask God. I mean, we did it before. It'll work. No, it didn't. And when the people were coming to the camp, the elders of Israel said, Wherefore has the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? You know what I mean? It's like it's like standing outside on the rain, guessing, I'm wet. I mean, how come? Hello? It's raining. No. It's serious, isn't it? I mean, the elders, knowing God, are asking, I mean, what has happened today? The Lord has smitten us. How come? You know? And they go back to this religious thinking. Now, they became church. You know, every part of the church mentality is in here. And they say, let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of the enemies. You know what I mean? I mean, you remember a conference, I don't know what, 2002 or 19 or 1989 or, you know, Turlock or whatever, the big ones, nice ones, you know, whatever, you know. You remember which song we sang? Can somebody go back to it and fetch them, and can we try to sing those songs to bring the anointing? You know, can we do it in the order? Can we bring the preacher who was there last time and he was anointed? You know, I mean, can we turn the chairs in the same direction we had them before? And now, what did we eat that time? You know, can we serve the same food? And can we kind of copy and restore the anointing? You know what I mean? And this is sometimes what we do. And it's sometimes our mentality. Instead of going inside and bringing ourselves before God and say, God, what has gone wrong? What did go wrong? Instead of allowing the Lord to speak to our hearts and point finger, and I would say, oh, I know. And then go to the brother, or, you know, go and pay back what you haven't, or, you know, whatever you have stolen or done, on, you know, whatever you have rejected or not done, you know. Instead, we try, you know, to try to copy the show. Try to put performance on. You know what I mean? Try to fake it. Try to imitate it. Imitate the anointing. And you know, to some people it'll work. They will think it was great. But to those who are spoiled, like I am, you're sitting there, things happening around. For a while you think maybe it's good, but then you kind of taste it and say, where's the juice? You know what I mean? Where's the juice? I mean, there's no juice, you know. So, they did bring the Ark of the Covenant. And they shouldn't have. They should have repented. To make a long story short, they lost it. And Eli lost the two sons, hasn't he? And the baby, which has been delivered by the mother of law, is it? Daughter-in-law, you know, when it has been delivered, you know, what is the name of it? Ichabod, isn't it? It's a tragic story. You know, it's a tragic story, and it's a warning for us. Because it says, the glory of God has departed. You know, brethren, I would not want to hear that. I wouldn't want to end up in a situation where the glory of God has departed. Where we would be doing things which look the same, but it's not glorious. I'm spoiled. I remember. And not only I remember, I'm not speaking history. We still have these situations. We still have the moments. You know what I mean? Let us not get satisfied, you know, and let us not grow into the situation. But you know, sometimes we deceive ourselves. We behave the same as Eli, and yet we hope for a different result. We do not believe the glory of God will depart. We can't imagine it. I mean, us? Are you joking? I mean, yeah, the Baptist, of course. You know, the Pentecostal, yeah, the letter rain and this and that, you know. But not us. Come on. We are the church. Are we? You know, brethren, it can happen to us in the very same way. That the glory can depart. You know what I mean? And instead of real life and real anointing and real God, we can have the imitations. Is it bad dream? Is it hypothetical? Is it something that, theoretically it can happen? You know, I see it happening. I see it coming. And we need to push it back. And it's coming and we need to push it back. And we need to name it and say, hey, listen, it is it again. And it is it again. And it is it again. Let's rebuke it. Let's change the chairs or let's do something. Let's admit that. Why don't we start there? Let's admit it. Or is it, again, politically incorrect? Huh? You know, maybe we should admit it. Maybe we should admit there is no anointing there. Maybe we should admit, yeah, all the words are good. The song was right, but it's leading nowhere. Maybe there is a disconnection. You know, and I'm not picking on praises today. Actually, the opposite. Okay? I'm talking generally. Because it is happening. You know? But till we can gather and say, hey, it wasn't right, was it? And now our kids help us. You know, something is happening in the church and we come home, sit around the table, and we usually talk about it. And especially my oldest daughter, she says, Daddy, this thing which this brother or sister or you or whoever were saying, you know, and I said, yes. Do you believe it was God saying it in that moment? Now you have an option. Either you rebuke her, how dare you, or you go back and admit it, you know. And then I have my wife too, which is a marvelous thing. You know, you come from meeting, and I deliver word. And I say, honey, what do you think? And if there is no response within the next 2 seconds, she doesn't need to say no more. You know, she's there stirring the pasta, whatever it is, you know. And she goes, you know, she's well trained, so she goes, well, what do you think? And I said, well, I know. I think I know what you mean. And she goes, what's wrong with you? I tried to save at least a bit of it, you know. So I mean, it wasn't too bad. I mean, don't you think? Well, and she always asks me. She's very kind. She gives me option. And she says, well, so what do you want to hear? I mean, if you want me to pet you, and I can do that. I mean, you know. No, I mean, just give it to me, you know. And, you know, she says, well, honey, I mean, there was no anointing. You know, there was no anointing in what you are saying. I mean, it was all good and all great, but you know what I mean. And what do I do with it? And she's not supposed to do that, is she? Come on, I need encouragement. Don't I? I think. You're laughing, but I do. You know, but the thing is, it would be disaster if she wouldn't do this, because then I would grow complacent. You know, we would become church. That's good enough. You know what I mean? And this is the thing. I mean, I don't want to say the sin is no problem, because it is a problem. But that's not the biggest problem, because we all do sin, don't we? We all have a problem here and there. We all, you know, don't walk the perfect way we should, and then we try to do something and God is in it. God is not in it. You know. I mean, does it happen to you? Where you walk and you walk with the Lord, you know, and then you miss it, and then your mind goes somewhere else, and then you are faced with a situation which you need to touch and resolve, and now you feel short. Oops. I would ideally go a few hours back, walk the few hours different, and then come and pray. but I don't have the option. So I just pray with what I have. Did it happen ever to you? That you felt, oh, I wish I could have, I walked better. Now I would pray better. You know, and sometimes you say, God forgive me, but for the sake of this child, for the sake of the situation, just cover me. You know, sometimes I go preach because I'm told to preach, so I go preach, you know, I better obey. So I go, and sometimes I deliver a word, and there is anointing, there is blessing, God uses it. And sometimes people come to me, you know, and they say, oh, it was a good word, we were blessed. And I'm sitting there in the chair, small, say, if you only knew. You know, God did it, you know, and as I walked to the pulpit, I said, God, I mean, forgive me, but for their sake, please be merciful. You know what I mean? And God is. And God is. So, I want to say that we should not get satisfied. We should not aim lower. And you know, yes, there is and there will be frustration. Let us not take the pills to avoid the pain, because it's not curing the cause. Amen. The cause is the sin in the camp. It's the sin in our midst. It's the sin in our heart. I mean, if we are behaving the way we are behaving, if we are talking the way we are talking, if we are doing things we are doing and not doing things we are not doing, what are we expecting? You know what I mean? Let's go after the core. Let's face it. I mean, there's no other way. And it's not as difficult as we think. It's not a list of demands. It's not the case. You know what I mean? God requires very little in a way. Submit to word. Love the Lord. Love your neighbor. Out of the love of your heart, you will be doing the things. If you take the word, if you put it to your ears, you know, we kind of have a tendency to put aside the word, which we believe, and kind of explore and start reading this and reading that, listening to this and listening to that, and then we are surprised why, you know, the power and our thinking and mentality gets diverted. You know, because we've been feeding on lower quality food. And we don't know what's wrong with us. We don't know why. We struggle. We wonder. You know, I have the same problem. I mean, I work and I have this. And then when I start feeding myself, and I have to, in office and work with things, and I'm not careful, you know, it can easily happen that, you know, my diet is not good enough to carry me with the power I need and I'm called to have. Can you walk in the work? And in situations like this, having your mind on God, oh, you bet. And you will perform better even in the secular jobs. Don't you have the testimony over and over and over and over again? How God did the job for you. He was selling for you. You know, He was making meetings, fixing problems, situations. You prayed, prophesied, you know, projects into success. And things. He wants us to work and walk spiritually. I mean, there's a calling upon our lives. Brethren, there has been much delivered to you. There has been much delivered to you. And you know, the whole creation. I mean, just be quiet for a second and listen. And you will hear the groaning. You know, they still wait. It's still out there waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God. It's still the case. It still hasn't happened. And just because we don't walk in it in fullness, it's not going to change the Bible. It is still available. I'm still aspiring for it. You know what I mean? The other response, do I still have a few minutes? Few, okay. The total different response, let me show you real quick. The total different response. Kind of similar situation. David, Bathsheba. It is a nasty thing. I mean, if you think about it, it is a bad stuff. You know what I mean? It is just, don't think about it on in a biblical context. It has a tendency to be a little bit out of touch. Think about it in your context. Somebody did it to your wife. You know, you are helping a brother, you know, king or somebody. On his behalf, you go, you sacrifice your life. In the meantime, he's involved with your wife. That's a bad stuff. And then, you know, just to cover everything up, he would kill you. It's bad stuff, isn't it? You know. And yet, there's a major difference there. There's a major difference. If you read it, and David, I mean, no, let me start somewhere. It's 2 Samuel 12. It's a long story, but I will quickly read a big part of it. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but a poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and with his children, and did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveller unto the rich man, and he spread to take of his spare, to take of his own flock, and is of his own herd, to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb, and dressed it for the man that was come to him. Yeah, so that's the story. And David, being a shepherd, you know, his anger was greatly kindled against that man. Nathan really was man of God. He knew how to approach David, didn't he? Yeah. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. Oh no. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold, because it did this thing, and because he had no pity. That's the reason. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. I mean, there has to be some boldness for the prophet, shouldn't it? You're facing a king. You know, thou art the man. And look at this. Look at the response. So thus says the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee the master's house, and thy master's wife unto thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Isn't it very similar curse to Eli's? Yeah. You wouldn't go for this one, would you? No. Yes, he did sin, and this is the word. But look at the different response. So, thus says the Lord, there's more. Thus says the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, oh no, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lay with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. You know what I mean? No beating around the bush. No beating around the bush. You know, sometimes when I'm faced with a situation, I try to a little bit, you know, not make it so blatant, so black and white. You know, I mean, I don't know why I do this, you know, why I don't have the boldness to come always and just say, yes, I sin. You know, but I'm improving, by the way. You know, I do more and more. I do more and more. I just bite my tongue and I said, yes, I did. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? And he did. And this is the non-church response. You can choose Eli or David. You still have a problem. You can't avoid it because you do. But the question is, what will you do? Will you come And will you say, well, let God do what He wants? I mean, God is God, right? Or will you say, I have sinned? I mean, you can find as many excuses as you want. It's not going to deliver you. Or you can allow it to come home. You know what I mean, come home. Okay? And say, I have sinned. Not he has, she has, they have. I have sinned. I know it. I don't need to be told. We know it, don't we? We know. Even now when we try to beat around the bush a bit, we still know it, don't we? You know? And there is the salvation. There is the hope. What shall we do about things? Will I go on my face? I mean, I don't need to wait for you. I don't need to wait for you if you do. I mean, if you do, that's your business, but I have sinned. I want to fix things. I want to straighten it because I don't want to become Eli. I don't want to produce Ichabod. I wanted to produce Son of God, Man-child. I still believe it. I do not want to produce God. Glory has departed. Not after the years. God forbid. But there has to be a different response. No beating around the bush. I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also has put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. Do you immediately see the response of the Lord? I have sinned. I have put aside thy sin. Put away. Isn't it something? I mean, God is so ready. You know, sometimes as a father, I have glimpses. Is it glimpses or glimpses? Glimpses. I have glimpses of it when the child comes and I have the wrath of the father. You know what I mean? And I do it. I ask my wife, ask my kids. You know, I mean, there's a fire coming out of my eyes and, you know, the situation is there. And the child comes and the moment he confesses, Daddy, I have sinned. The moment it changes. You know what I mean? I forgive you. Let's now go and fix it. We still have the problem. Let's fix it. But there is no more need for the fire. You know what I mean? But till the child comes to this and goes, the more the anger kindles. You know. And there are certain things where you just talk to the kids gently. And there are certain things, you know, they're hanging there in the air. You know, I have a habit, especially when the child is young enough, that I can hold it. I hold it against the wall, you know, it's kind of pinned to the wall, you know. And I talk to it, you know. And it's kind of hanging there in the air. Because you will not do these things. It will take you to hell, and I do not want it. And you do not want it. You know what I mean? So do allow, in the midst of the love, do allow the rest to come. But the moment there comes the confession, I forgive you. I love you, honey. You know what I mean? Do you see the response immediately? Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given, and just to make a long story short, about the baby, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. And Nathan departed unto his house. And the Lord struck the child that Uriah's wife bare unto David, and it was very sick. What did David do? And David said, well, God is God, he can do whatever. Correct? David therefore besought God for the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night upon the earth. And the elders of his house arose and went to him to raise him up from the earth, but he would not, neither did he eat bread with them. And it came to pass on the seventh day that the child did die. You know, and you say, well, it was all in vain. No, it was not. Because God gave him Solomon as the next one. If he didn't do this, there's end of David. End of the kingdom. And God would never say that David was king after his own heart. Didn't he do bad stuff? Yeah, he did. Big time. Big time. But when the word of God came, he wasn't churchy. He wasn't there saying, yeah, good word. Yeah, thanks, by the way. Yeah. Okay, I'll take care of it somehow. You know. But he came and said, I have sinned. Brethren, please, let us not lose it. Let us not lose the sincerity. Let us not lose what we have believed. We have heard a word, and I know, when I look around, I know that when you are hearing it, something in your heart goes, yes, 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 that's what I want. You know, I do not believe that you want church. I just can't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe it's possible. When you have tasted what you have tasted, that you would become just church happy with Sunday service. I don't know what I would do. If we would go and run around the church or run through the city or, you know, tear the clothes or lay on the floor, you know, we would have to do something to avoid it and stop it. And sometimes we do foolishness. Sometimes in the panic of becoming a church and we have no solution, sometimes we don't know, so we do something. You know, and sometimes it might not be the best thing to do. But it only shows, you know, that we are alive. That we are not satisfied, that we are saying, you know, and the Lord speaks to us. And He says, yes, move, do something, go about it, change. You know what I mean? Because we are still coming to the Lord and say, Lord, regardless of how things are in my own life, I am not saying this is it. That's not the end of the story. Amen. And I would recommend you, a good night reading. And it's a Psalm 51. Let me read a bit of it. Do you know the context, don't you? Psalm 51, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone into Bathsheba. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mayest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. You know, there's no beating around bushes there. No beating around bush. I have sinned. Behold, I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that my bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, O Lord, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. David was so aware this could happen. And we are in the same situation, brethren. This is our prayer. This is a prayer of this hour. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. We have lost the joy of the salvation, brethren. Restore it, Lord. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Don't you desire to be free? Don't you desire to come to church and be free, have a free spirit? Restore it, O God. Grant it to me. But you have to repent. Maybe you don't like to repent anymore. I don't know. But there's no other way. Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation. And my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and contrite heart, O God, I will not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Please, O God, be merciful. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offerings and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. You know, brethren, we are faced with the same situation we are guilty. If we do nothing, and I don't know what you think about it, but if we do nothing, we will become church. We can do all the right things. We can bring the ark, you know, we can teach tabernacle, we can do all the right things, and they are right things. But if we do not repent, if we do not change our heart, if we do not change our ways, I mean in the nitty-gritty, in our daily walk, not theoretical, not hypothetical, the way we go about our daily business, the way we treat God, the way whether we listen. I mean, why are you doing things? Are you being led by the Holy Ghost, or are you just doing your normal day life, not normal day business? Unless we change this, we will become a church. But I hope you are spoiled and you wouldn't go for it. So I do pray that our response would be that we would tear our hearts. We would go inside and say, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I still believe what you have told me. I am underachieving, but I know you have not rejected me. You know, I know that. I know God hasn't rejected me. And I know He's still offering it to me. I know it's still there. And you know, when I read it, and I can be reading 144,000 about a ceiling. I can be reading about the letter of Jacob and the angels descending and ascending, you know, and all these things. And my heart is just rejoicing and says, God, I desire it. You will not satisfy me with church. You will not satisfy me with religion. I am not interested. I've seen more. You know, like Abraham, don't offer me anything here. I've seen a city which builder and maker is God. Amen. God bless you.
I'm only going to be a second. Brother Martin was talking about Eli, and Eli, the study of Eli has been one of my favorite subjects, and the generations of Eli as in contrast to the sons of Zadok, a real contrast. And of course the line of Eli comes all the way down from Ithamar, which again is in contrast to the other line of which God gave an everlasting promise to Phinehas because of the action that he took in the plains of Moab there when they were committing adultery with the daughters of Moab. But the curse that was given against Eli through that child prophet Samuel that day, I believe it was a final warning to Eli. We're talking about final things in this hour. Final warnings, final invitations, final things. The fact that God didn't come down on Eli the next day didn't nullify what the child Samuel said to him. Now, I believe the very fact that God said something to Eli, he had an option that he could have done something about it yet. But it was Eli's response and Eli's decision that would either have reversed what was happening or solidified the thing. And he made a decision by not making a decision, shall we say. It was still a decision that he made. And if you want to follow this thing down to the 22nd chapter of 1 Samuel, you find the madman Saul coming to Ahimelech because Ahimelech had helped David. And slaughtering, was it 70 members of that man's family. Now, I say that to you because Ahimelech was a direct descendant of Eli. The proof is in 1 Samuel 14. I was looking for it. I'll read you the verse. It says, "And Ahiah, the son of Ahitub, Ichabod's brother, the son of Phinehas, the son of Eli." Okay, there's your generational tie right there. And when you get over into the 22nd chapter, it says here, "Then answered Doeg the Edomite, which was set over the servants of Saul, and said, I saw the son of Jesse coming to Nob to Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub." So these are all descendants. And one of the words that was given to Eli, by the way, this was not Eli's only warning. There was an unknown prophet that came to Eli. And you can say, well, Eli did nothing. Well, he did something. He went to his sons and he says, you know, this isn't really good. You really hadn't ought to do this. But that's all he did. And the point is, he had the power to do more. He had the power to remove them from the position and office that they had, in which they were corrupting all of Israel. Wicked sons. But he chose family, he chose the bloodline of family over God. Hallelujah. So I just wanted to add this little certification to what Martin had said. One of the curses, I forget whether it was this unknown man or whether it was Samuel, said, Eli, in your house, there will never be an old man. They'll never live that long. What a terrible curse. And he could have stopped it. God help us. Amen. We need to hear these words and the warnings that the Lord is giving us in this hour. Hallelujah.
While my brother was speaking, the Lord spoke to me. I'm really going to ask you to pardon me. I think we need to pray. And God asked me to make an altar call. I remember 2005, Brother Ross, you were there. in a meeting like this, Brother Seth brought a word, and he said, tell the Nigerian brethren that they are in the outer court. When I heard it, you know, I was praying before I went to the meeting, and I said, God, give us one more chance. So I went to the meeting, and I had come late, so Brother Hubert had called me and said, you know, the word that Brother Seth brought, it was different. So I was very eager. I got to the meeting, and Brother Seth said that. This morning, when I went to have my bath, I'm sorry, God, you just kissed me when I'm having my bath, when I'm taking my shower in the morning. That's when God speaks to me. And I heard that same word about you, brethren. God spoke about the outer court. And I've been hearing that word all through today. And God says, this is an opportunity for those who need prayer. You want to make a response for repentance. It's specific. There are a few more specific things that God is saying. I don't know if I have the boldness to say it. Well, maybe I'll put it this way, that when there is need for repentance, it starts here. It begins from the pulpit. Amen. So shall we bow our heads to pray? So if there are those who want to make a response for repentance, you just feel God is speaking to you about repentance, and you want to be prayed for, you can just stand wherever you are to respond to God. You want to respond to what the Lord has been saying this evening, and perhaps through the morning and through the afternoon, and perhaps what He has been saying to you even at home, and you want to make that response. You don't want this opportunity to pass. Please, you can just stand, and then we can pray. It's a response to the Lord, because God is looking at the heart. God brought a final opportunity for Eli, and he missed it. Lord, we come this night to respond to you, to respond to your spirit, Lord. We come to ask for help. To ask you, Lord, to give us one more chance. Not to play church. Not to form a denomination. Not to be pastors. Not to be rulers. Not to beat one another. Lord, we come to ask for strength. To repent. Lord, we come to ask for strength to bring forth fruit, the fruit of repentance, fruit meet for repentance. For it says, godly sorrow brings forth repentance. Lord, we come to ask for truth in the inward parts. You spoke of bitter herbs. Lord, we come to ask for bowels of mercies, of love. Lord, where there has been bitterness, where there has been murder, where we have killed one another in our hearts, where we have torn, Lord, where we have been like David, we have killed to cover up, we have retaliated, we have said, this is not my brother, this one is not my sister, I cut her out of my life. Lord, where our emotions have been seared concerning one another, where we can feel the compassion, the brotherly kindness, even in the families, where we see the signs of divorce. Lord, we see the cancer in the body. Lord, we see the plague in the body. Lord, we say we have sinned. It's not my brother. It's not my sister. We have sinned. Lord, you have committed something so precious, so weighty, the things that angels desire to look into. You've given to us that which is precious to you. You called us and you put us into this ministry, giving us this opportunity to be called joint heirs and to be able to carry this word. Lord, we confess that we have despised it. We have said your table is contemptible. I will ask you, Lord, to forgive us. We ask for your mercy. Where the fire has died, Lord, we ask, oh God, that this leprosy will be healed. Lord, touch the hearts, touch our hearts, and restore the fire. Restore the apostolic commission, the apostolic vision, that the fire and the fervency that which burned in our hearts at the beginning. The man said, did not our hearts burn when he spoke to us?
Amen.
But we ask God that he might restore this fire. Restore brotherly love. Lord, as I might start from the pulpit, start from the ministry, start from the leadership.
My God.
Well, as Lord, you might soften our hearts. Soften the hearts, O Lord. Amen. That we can bow the knee to you, O Lord. Amen. I might respect you. I might respect your calling and your hand upon one another.
My God.
Lord, we come this night to beg of you to give us one more chance. Lord, we can see your rod. You took Israel and you scattered them. You dealt with them as though you have never known them. You released upon them their enemies. Their enemies ruled over them and showed them no mercy over centuries. But Lord said, in your mercy, you will gather them. Lord, we come this night to say, oh Lord, have mercy. You say, because of that which Manasseh did, say, you will wipe Israel like a man wipes a plate. Because that he did much violence, shed much blood in Jerusalem. Lord, we come to you because you have sent your word. We believe you are giving us an opportunity. Lord, we cry to you that you might touch our hearts, O God. Lord, bring us, grant us an ability to be able to find a place in you, O God. May we find a place in our hearts where we can tremble before you and tremble before your word. Like David, when you made the breach, he dropped the ark and he ran away. He went to seek you according to the order. Lord, we ask you, as we stay before you these few days, that you will teach us the divine order again.
Yeah.
Teach us the divine order.
Yeah.
Restore the prophetic word.
My God.
Restore the apostolic authority and anointing, O God. Restore clarity of vision. Restore the fire, O God.
Amen.
Let the fire fall.
Amen.
He said that in the time of Josiah, he said there was never such a time that there was such a feast. He said that at the seventh month that they gathered, from the beginning of Israel to the end, they gathered. And there has never been such a time. Lord, we ask, O God, you will give us one more chance. Have mercy upon us, O God. Have mercy, O God. Have mercy, O God. Jesus. Lord, we repent when we have thrown stones at your prophets. We have stoned your prophets. You said, despise not prophesying. Quench not the spirit. Lord, we ask you to have mercy upon us, O God. And restore our teachers. Restore our teachers, O Lord. Restore unto us the years of the canker worm.
Oh, my God.
The years of the caterpillar. The years of the locust. The tenderness that has been eaten away by the locust, by strife and contention and bitterness and hatred and murders.
Jesus.
Restore the tenderness. Restore, O God. Restore. Restore cheek friends. Restore bosom friends.
My God.
Restore, my God. Restore. The bowels of love. It's a deep calls to deep. Restore, O God. Have mercy upon us, O Lord. We'll cry to you. You said to Solomon, even that day you pray, that I will hear, O God. Lord, we'll come to cry unto you. And we'll say, Lord, have mercy upon us, O Lord. That might give us one more chance.
Yes.
That we'll be partakers of this glorious ministry.
Amen.
We're not asking to restore church or restore movement. Say, Lord, give us one more chance to be numbered among those that will bear the ark. Lord, you said, by terrible things in righteousness, you will answer those. We ask, Lord, that you open the windows of heaven and cause it to rain, oh God.
Yes.
Let there be times of refreshing from your presence, oh Lord.
Yes.
Let there be times of refreshing, oh God. Again. Again, oh God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The Bible says that our repentance should be complete. And the scripture says, if you know your brother has an ought, so leave your gift at the altar and go and restore your brother. If he will not hear you, take another and go and restore. He that goes to make peace does not demand apology. He that goes to make peace does not rebuke. It is those who are right that go to make peace. So that God so loved the world that he gave. He that knew no sin became sin. That is the example he has set for us. And if God touches your hands to go to recover your brother or your sister, do not go to seek an apology. You go to apologize and to seek for forgiveness and the restoration of life. Ask your brother to pray for you. Ask your sister to pray for you. Confess your faults one to another, that you may be healed. We're praying that the Lord will stir us up, that there will not be any church, but there will be true religion. There will be true fellowship. If your brother comes to you, encourage him and help him and release him and bless him in the name of the Lord. Amen.